Now, import for export. Goods are imported, but it is used for the purpose of export. The goods imported in accordance with the foreign trade policy may be exported in the same or substantially the same form without an authorization provided. The item to be imported or exported is not restricted for import or export. Goods including the capital goods, new as well as the second hand, may be imported for the export provided the importer clears the goods under the customs bond, the goods are freely exportable, that is not restricted, prohibited, and it is subject to for exclusive trading through the state trading enterprises, or any conditionality is not attached as a requirement may be required under Schedule 2 of export policy for ITCHS. Export against freely convertible currency. Export against freely convertible currency. There is a provision under foreign trade policy which consists of the goods which are already mentioned earlier will include in the restricted goods for import except the prohibited items. So capital goods which are freely importable and freely exportable may be imported for the export on execution of letter of undertaking or bank guarantee with the custom authorities. In respect of the goods which are imported against the payment of freely convertible currency, that would be permitted for the export only against the payment in freely convertible currency unless otherwise it is notified by the DGFT. Export of such a goods to the notified countries, presently an Iran, would be permitted against the payment of Indian rupees, and that is subject to minimum 15% of value addition. Now we export through the courier. Export through the registered courier services are permitted as per the notification issued by Director of Revenue Intelligence. However, importability and exportability of this is as per the regulation in respect of foreign trade policy, ITCHS handbook of procedures. Export for the replacement of the goods, for the replacement of the goods, which is a part thereof, goods or part thereof, being exported and found defective, damaged, or otherwise unfit for the use, that may be replaced freely or free of charge by the exporter, and such a good shall be allowed clearance by the customs authorities provided the replacement of the goods are not mentioned as a restricted item for the ITCHS. Then export of repaired goods which are imported for repair and then sending back. These are after repairs. So these goods or parts thereof, except it is restricted under the policy, being exported and found defective, damaged, or otherwise unfit for use by the imported for repairs and subsequent re-export, such a goods shall be allowed clearance without any authorization or approval and in accordance with the custom notification. However, this re-export of such a defective parts or spares of the companies or firm which are original equipment or maybe manufacturer shall not be mandatorily if they are imported exclusively for undertaking the root cause of analysis, testing and evaluation purpose. Now export of spares. Spares generally have a warranty for the replacement. So the spares, whether indigenous, that is locally produced, or it is import of the particular plant, equipment, machinery, automobiles, and other goods except those restricted under the policy may be exported along with the main equipment or subsequently but with the contracted warranty period of such a goods, which is subject to approval by RBI. Now, coming down to the provision, understand the provision relating to the private bonded warehouse for the exports. Private bonded warehouse for export. Private bonded warehouses exclusively for the exports may be set up in domestic territory as per the terms and the conditions of notification which is issued by Department of Revenue Intelligence. Department of Revenue Intelligence. Such a warehouses which are established in the domestic territory, that is DTA, are entitled to procure the goods from the domestic manufacturer without payment of the duty. Supplies made by the domestic supplier to such a notified warehouse shall be treated as a physical export provided payments are made in free foreign currency. Then payment and restricted on import and export, which is denomination of export contract. All the export contract or invoiced shall be denominated either in a freely convertible currency or Indian rupees, but export proceeds shall be realized in freely convertible currency. Now, payment and receipt on import and export. Okay, there is a provision in the policy, denomination of export contract. Export proceeds against the specific export can be realized in rupees, provided it is through a freely convertible Vostro account of a non-resident bank which is located in any country other than the member country of ASEAN Clearing Union or Nepal or Bhutan. In addition to that, rupee payment through the Vostro account must be against the payment in freely foreign exchange, freely foreign currency by buyer in his non-resident bank account. So this free foreign exchange remitted by the buyer to his non-resident bank after deducting the bank service charges on account of his transaction, that would be taken as an export realization under the export promotion scheme of foreign trade policy. Denomination of export contract. Contract for which the payments are received through the ACU shall be denominated in ACU dollar, ACU euro, or maybe ACU yen. Central government may relax the provision of this paragraph in appropriate cases. Export contract and the invoices can be denominated in Indian rupees against the Exim Bank, Government of India's line of credit. Then export to Iran, realization of Indian rupee to be eligible for foreign trade policy benefits. Export proceeds whenever it is realized in Indian rupees against the export to the Iran are permitted to avail the export benefit incentives. Okay, against as per the at par with the export proceeds which are realized in freely convertible foreign currency. Then non-realization of export proceeds. What is to be done? Provision relating to non-realization of export proceeds. If an exporter fails to realize the export proceeds within a time specified by Reserve Bank of India, he shall be without prejudice to any liability or penalty under any of the law in force, is liable to return all the benefits or incentives which are availed while exporting such a goods against such exports. An action in accordance with the provision of foreign trade policy will be applicable to such exporters. In case of exporter is unable to realize the export proceeds for the reason beyond his control, he may approach to the Reserve Bank of India for writing off of unrealized amount as per the procedure laid down in Handbook of Procedures and as per the power delegated by Reserve Bank of India to authorized dealers. The payment realizes, the payment which is realized through the insurance cover would be eligible for benefit under FTP, that is foreign trade policy. Coming down to understand little bit provisions relating to the export promotion councils. Recognition of the export promotion council to function as a registering authority for issuance of the RCMC, that is registration cum certificate. Okay, registration cum certificate for from the authority of the Export Promotion Council. Export Promotion Council are organization of the exporters, right? They set up with the objective to promote and develop the Indian export. So each council is responsible for promotion of the particular group of product, project or services. These Export Promotion Councils are also eligible to function as a registering authority for to issue a registration certificate, registration cum membership certification to its member. The criteria for the EPC, that is criteria for Export Promotion Council to be recognized as registering the authorities for issues of RCMC to their members. Any provision or any person which is applying for authorization to import or export except the items listed in the restricted list in ITCHS or any other benefit or concessions under foreign trade policy shall be required to be furnished or upload on the DGFT's website in the importer exporter profile the registration cum membership certificate, that is RCMC, granted by the competent authority in accordance with the procedure specified in Handbook of Procedure unless specifically exempted under foreign trade policy. This certificate of registration as an exporter for spices, which is issued by the Spices Board, shall be treated as a registration cum the membership certificate, that is RCMC, for the purpose of under this policy. Now, understanding the policy interpretation and the relaxations, okay. So, interpretation of the policy. The decision of the DGFT is always considered as a final and binding on all the matters relating to the interpretation of the policy or provision in what is mentioned in the Handbook of the Procedure, appendices attached to it, ayat niryat form, or maybe classification of any item which is importable and exportable. The policy of interpretation and the committee that may be constructed to aid and the DGFT may, by public interest, pass such order or grant such exemption, relaxation or relief as they feel deemed fit and proper on the ground of genuine hardship and adverse impact on the trade to a person or class or category of the person from any provision of foreign trade policy or any procedures advised by the DGFT. Personal hearing by DGFT for the grievances redressal system. Government is committed to speedy the redressal and the grievances from the trade and industry. Okay, DGFT can consider the request for relaxation after consulting the concerned norms committee or export promotion of the capital good committee or policy relaxation committee. Then regularization of export oriented or default or settlement of the customs duty and the interest through the settlement of the commission. for providing the assistance to the firms who have defaulted under foreign trade policy for the reasons beyond their control, and facilitating the merger, acquisition, and rehabilitation of the Sikh unit, has been decided to empower the settlement committee in the Central Board of Excise and the Customs to decide cases, also with effect from 1/4/2005. Now, sometimes self-certification is also required on the origination of the goods. So, approved exporter scheme for the self-certification of certificate of origin. Normally, certificate of origin is issued by the Chamber of Commerce, and the person sitting there, he will sign that. Certificate of origin under various preferential trade agreements, free trade agreements, or comprehensive economic cooperative agreement, and the comprehensive economic partnership agreement are issued and designated agencies as per the Appendix 2B of Handbook of Procedure or Ayat Niryat Forms. New optional scheme of self-certification is being introduced under the policy with the view to reduce the transaction cost and the hassles which is experienced by the exporter. Now, ROTDEP, that is refund of duties and taxes on export of the product. Merchant export from India scheme, that is MEIS, and service export from India scheme, that is SEIS, has been replaced with effect from January 1, 2021, as per the notification of the government dated August 17, 2021. And this RODTEP is refund of duties and taxes on exported product, which is implemented with effect from January 1, 2021, has been implemented. This is a flagship export promotion scheme of the Commerce Ministry in India. This scheme aims to refund the exporters the embedded central, state, and local duties and taxes paid on the inputs that were so far not refunded or rebated. The government decided to extend the benefit of RODTEP scheme to all the goods with effect from January 1st, 2021, according to the notification by the Director General of Foreign Trade. So, RODTEP was announced in September 2019 with an aim to boost the domestic export and replace the export incentive scheme under Merchandise Export from India, that is MEIS. Notification was issued in August 2021 to implement with immediate effect. Now, Towns of Export Excellence. Towns of Export Excellence. Objective of this scheme is to develop and growth of the export production centers. To identify the number of towns that may emerge as a dynamic industrial clusters, which is contributing handsomely to the India's export, and to grant a recognition to them, industrial cluster, with a view to maximize their potential and enable them to move to the value chain and also to tap the new market, this scheme has been developed. This is objective. In this scheme, the selected town producing the goods worth more than 750 crores or more are considered and notified as towns of export excellence based on the potentials for growth of export. However, for towns of export excellence in handloom, handicraft, agriculture, and fisheries sector, this threshold limit would be ₹150 crores, that is reduced one, right? Now, what are the facilities provided to the TEE, that is Towns of Export Excellence? This recognized association of the unit will be provided the financial assistance under Market Access Initiative Scheme on priority basis for the export promotion projects for marketing, capacity building, and also technology services. Common service providers in these areas shall also be entitled for authorization under EPCG scheme. 39 townships so far recognized by the Government of India as a Towns of Export Excellence under the Foreign Trade Policy 2015-20, which is extended up to 31-9 instead of 3, you read it as 9-30-39-2022. Now, Duty Exemption and Remission Scheme. Duty exemption and remission scheme under this chapter, as per the provision made under the Foreign Trade Policy, will enable the duty-free import of the imports for the export production and including the replenishment of the input or duty remission. Now, duty exemption scheme consists of the advance authorization, that is AA, which is included in advance authorization for annual requirement, then duty-free import authorization, that is DFIA, and next one will be duty remission scheme, that is duty drawback scheme administered by the Department of Revenue. Applicability of the policy and the procedure as per the provision in the policy. Advance authorization. Advance authorization is issued to allow a duty-free import of import, duty-free import of inputs which physically incorporated in export product, making normal allowances for the wastages. Advance authorization is issued for input in relation to resulting products. And next one is advance authorization for spices. Duty-free import for the spices shall be permitted only for the activities like crushing, grinding, sterilization, manufacture of oil or maybe oil resin. The authorization shall not available for simply cleaning, grading and repackaging. Then eligible applicant export supply. Eligible applicant or export or supply for this advance authorization can be issued either to a manufacturer exporter or merchant exporter who has tied up with the supporting manufacturer. And second one, advance authorization for the pharmaceutical products manufactured through the non-infringing, that is NI process, and shall be issued to the manufacturer or exporter only. Advance authorization shall be issued for one, physical export, okay, including the export to SEZ, then intermediate supply and supply of the goods to the categories which are mentioned in paragraph 7 of the Foreign Trade Policy. Supply of the stores on board of the foreign foreign going vessel. Supply of the stores on board of the foreign going vessel or aircraft is subject to condition that there is a specific standard input output norms in respect of the items is supplied. And now we will see the advance authorization for annual requirement. The advance authorization for annual requirement shall only be issued for the items which are notified under standard input output norm, that is SION, standard input output NION, that is SION. Now, eligibility to obtain the advance authorization for annual requirement. Those exporters who are having the past export performance at least preceding two financial year shall be entitled for the advance authorization for annual requirement. Value addition, minimum value addition required to be achieved under the advance authorization is 15%, and import of mandatory spares which are required to be exported or supplied with the resultant product shall be permitted duty free to the extent of 10% of CIF value of authorization. Ineligible categories of the import on self-declaration basis. Import of some of the product shall not be permissible on self-declaration basis, which consist of all vegetable edible oils, all types of cereals, all type of spices other than the light back paper or light barriers having basic custom duty of more than 30%. All types of fruits, vegetables having the duty of more than 30%. Then horn, hoof and any other organs of the animal, honey, rough marble blocks, slabs and also the rough granite. And then vitamins except for use in the pharmaceutical industries. For exports, perfumes, perfumery as well as various feeds or ingredient which is containing the vitamins, no authorization shall be issued by the regional authority. Where export and import of the biotechnology items and related products are involved, the authorization shall be issued by the regional authority only on submission of no objection certificate from Department of Biotechnology. In that respect, what is the pre-import condition in certain cases? 1. DGFT may notification imposes the pre-import conditions for inputs under this chapter. Inputs required. Imported items, input is made, certain additional input is made, refurbished, and then it is exported. So the norms for the inputs are, first one, DGFT will already issue a notification to that effect. Import item subject to pre-import condition will be indicated in standard input output norm, that is SION. Import of drug from the unregistered sources shall have the pre-import condition. Thank you. Thank you very much.